up on this episode of DL Weekly, Magic Key holders get a spooky fun perk, some happy haunts are coming to entertain in downtown Disney,
FastPass has almost disappeared from the parks, we talk about our upcoming trip to the parks, and finish talking with Emmy, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of September 22nd, 2021. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tig Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Travis M., Angel T., Marissa K., Melissa R., Luna L., Jesus B., and Patrice H. for supporting the show, and for Tara F. for increasing her support of the show. This support, of course, helps make DL Weekly possible. Things like our upcoming trip, everything. It's just so amazing that you guys have been supporting. And we're only 7 away from 200 supporters, which I never thought we would ever get to. So that is so, so amazing. Thank you guys so much for all of the support. So the weekly tiers in our supporter Discord chat are so amazing. There's always a lively discussion about Disney happening with tips, tricks, direct access to us daily, and more. If you'd like to become a weekly tier yourself and have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
I do have to mention, even though it's technically for Walt Disney World's 50th, we do have a really fun chat going about the McDonald's toys. Everyone's showing off what ones they were able to get. We've got some trades happening so that people can widen their collections. It's been pretty fun and kind of unexpected. You never know what you're going to find in the chat.
And for the tech people, we also have been talking about the latest Apple devices and all that stuff. Teresa went on a thread creating thing in the chat this week.
I mean, Apple, that's always going to be a relevant topic for you also.
That's true.
It's perfect. Well, it's time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Oh man, I can't promise this. We're going to run long tonight, folks. We start our journey at Walt Disney World, where Epcot once again takes the lead in the news. Epcot's main shopping experience, Mouse Gear, closed up a couple of years ago for a major renovation. It's not a bad thing, really. Mouse Gear took over for the Centaurium, the shop that opened with the park. Not that we're counting renovations here. Seriously, though, it had two floors. It's pretty cool. Look it up. So, the Creations Shop. It's another big step in Epcot's transformation. Themed to Mickey and Epcot through the years, murals and statues adorn the high walls, giving you plenty to look at while you shop for the latest and greatest merch. Head to World Celebration to check out the neo-modern fun. I talk a fair amount about Space 220 here because I really can't wait to eat there. If you usually skip my segments, know that this is a simulated ride to a space station tethered 220 miles above Epcot. Gaze out giant simulated windows and marvel at our definitely round planet. Old news, right? But you're kind of wrong, because Disney released new menus this week, so we're going to talk about it anyway. Luncheon through a two-course meal with lift-off appetizers and star course entrees. The three-course meal at dinner time adds in Supernova Sweets. Filet mignon, short rib, red snapper, duck, and several more options, including plant-based meals, take up most of the menu. If you want more spacey themes, check out the drinks menu. Some cocktails come with clouds of cotton candy or astronaut ice cream garnishes. The non-alcoholic drinks are just as much fun, with fruit flavors mixing with popping candy and other fun twists. Starting September 20th, reservations open up for the September 27th launch and beyond. Speaking of food, you need to check out some of the massive variety of dessert parties Disney released this week. Dessert parties give you the opportunity to enjoy some smaller bites of food and sweets with the added benefit of preferred seating for fireworks spectaculars. The Magic Kingdom has a few options for guests. At the Tomorrowland Terrace, you can enjoy the dessert party before or after your fireworks show now. There's a pre-party and an after-party going on. Both allow you to have the same access to desserts, cheeses, and beverages, including coffee, beer, and wine, with a preferred viewing area for the fireworks show. You get to choose whether you eat before or after the magic. There's also an option to have even more exclusive seating in the Tomorrowland Terrace during the show. If you like to watch from a little bit further away, try the experience at the Contemporary Resort. This party pits you against sushi in small plates before the show, with a viewing from the 15th floor deck along with synchronized music. Head back inside afterward for cordials and coffee. Want the ultimate treatment? Head to Fairy Tale Fireworks and enjoy a similar experience from the Seven Seas Lagoon aboard one of the resort's massive ferries. I got to experience this a few years ago, and it remains one of my favorite memories of Walt Disney World. All of these experiences are available for reservations now, with opening dates in early October. Check it out for your next trip. Oh man, almost forgot Harmonious. The Epcot show opens up on October 1st as well. You can get preferred seating for this new show along with dining at the Rose and Crown in the UK and Spice Road Table in Morocco. Whether you enjoy an awesome curry or some lamb kefta for dinner, you have amazing waterside views of the newest show at Epcot. And that's 180 seconds, I guess. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around, well, just Disney World this time. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over and visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180. Oh, and Club Cool reopened at Epcot, too. I'm sorry, there's no time to talk about it. Look up Club Cool and get ready to surprise your friends with the Beverly Challenge. Seriously, look it up if you're unfamiliar. Sorry for taking so long, Tech and Teresa. There's just a lot to be excited about this week.
Well, want to come and meet us at Disneyland? Well, this weekend, man, I can't believe already this weekend, is your chance. We'll be having our weekly tier meetup at noon Pacific on Sunday, September 26th at the Tongariro Terrace, which is located at the Disneyland Hotel. Now, this is not the bar, so you can, like, people of all ages can come and see us and stuff like that. If you can't make it in person, we'll be having our supporter hangout over Zoom and our public live stream just before the meetup that morning. The Zoom hangout is going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific with the link that will be posted in the Patreon. And the public stream will be at 11 a.m. Pacific on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/DLWeekly.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, extended hours for the parks haven't returned yet, but Magic Key holders can experience something almost as good. From September 20th through October 7th, Magic Key holders can ride Haunted Mansion Holiday after park closing for an additional hour Mondays through Thursdays. A valid park reservation and proof of Magic Key will be required to ride.
Beyond excited for this. A, Haunted Mansion, so A. But B, we get to be in the parks just that much longer, an hour longer. Plus, there's going to be less people in, like, there when we're there that extra hour. And Disneyland at night, as you all know, is just...
Oh, yeah, nighttime.
Beautiful. And to be in an almost empty park. Oh, so excited. So I think we'll probably be taking advantage of this both nights.
Can you... the question is, can you... do it multiple times? You just have to be in line before?
Yeah.
I'm just very excited because the park's open till 11 and it gets dark earlier. Yeah. So, and with this, we get to stay in for an extra hour and there'll be less people at the end. I'm so excited.
Do you know what I learned just yesterday? And I'm a little sad that I somehow did not know about this, but there is a lighting ceremony for Haunted Mansion Holiday.
What?
Yes. So we're going to have to try and catch that. I think I may have not knowingly been in the queue, like in the
when it happened once,
because I watched a video of it and it's like there's a narration and it sounded very, very familiar. So I think I didn't realize that I was a part of it at some point, but now I want to make sure that, like, we're there, full view of the mansion to watch the it's mini. It's not quite like the lighting ceremony over at Cars Land, but yeah. So I have too many lighting ceremonies I want to be at now because I've got Cars. I really want to do the Cars Land lighting ceremony for all the Halloween stuff, and now we've got the Haunted Mansion.
For any weekly tiers who are going to be going soon to Disneyland, look for weekly tier Chris with a K, M. She works at the Haunted Mansion Holiday. She starts on Sunday. So if you see her, make sure to give her a nice weekly tier hello. Tell her that you heard about her on the podcast. Maybe she'll be the new Maynard. Like,
maybe
they'll hear from this and then she'll be amazing. And
I just learned, like, yesterday, Alex sent it to me. Of course, Alex of all people sent to me that there's a a lighting ceremony for Haunted Mansion Holiday. So I've got to see that. I think I was in the queue once when it happened, unknowing what was going on. So I've got to figure out. So, okay, Chris, what time is that at? Do you know, like, what time does that normally happen? Because it's fun. It's short, but it's fun. Short and sweet, but fun. But Chris, I also have to talk to you because I need you to confirm something for me. I've heard there's a second pet cemetery. And I need to know if it exists. There's an elephant buried in this second pet cemetery. And I can't remember what else, but the elephant was the best one. Yes! Chris, you've got it. Okay, so, if you're looking at the mansion, it's on the same side as the exit, and it's somewhere kind of like next to the mansion, but behind the exit. It's back over there. Let me see if I can find
it. It happens late, because this TikTok I found, it's dark out.
It's like here, the second...
Oh, it's the old pet cemetery that's behind the entrance, yes. Or the exit.
Yes.
It's like up and behind the exit.
Apparently, supposedly, you can like ask a cast member and they'll take you back there if they're nice enough and not busy.
Well, Chris could take.
But
you
I
back
feel
there.
Bad like bothering someone about it. So,
Chris, you're in trouble with us now.
Chris, I'm nice enough. But yeah, there's the other cemetery. I need to go.
Chris should never have told us because now we're gonna be like Chris.
She's like, I've showed you everything. Well, speaking of happy haunts, six happy haunts have taken leave from the Haunted Mansion Friday through Sunday evenings through Halloween. The Scarolers, a six-person a cappella group, will entertain guests in downtown Disney's with favorites like I Put a Spell on You and other tributes to Disney villains.
This is love pretty it. Cool. This is like the Cadaver Dance, but not.
Yes.
This should be very exciting to see and hear, and hopefully the dates. Are they going to be there when we're there?
Yes.
Cool. I'm very excited.
Friday through Sunday through Halloween, so like now through Halloween. It says through October 31st, so I'm going to assume now through October 31st. I'm just very excited to go see the Scarolers. I've seen videos of them. Yeah, super fun. Very excited. We're going to have to try and like, maybe I'll have to put a phone reminder because we'll have to go probably see them our first day there.
Yep.
So we might have to put a reminder in my phone
That's
so I get an
idea.
Alarm or something so we remember to go
That's
over.
A great idea. You should do that
I
right
have
now.
I have my phone with me, so you do it now.
As we reported on previously, the PhotoPass services have moved from Main Street Photo Supply in Disneyland and Kingswell Camera Shop in Disney California Adventure to the exterior part of the Disneyland newsstand. The new location is labeled as Photo Concierge and will be the single location for photo services. The old locations inside the parks will be repurposed for more merchandise.
You know, have you had a chance to look at photos of this? I think it looks super nice.
I think it looks
like it fits in the area. I was a little worried that maybe that space wouldn't really be big enough and there wouldn't be too many. Because, right, if you've been in the photo supply store and done stuff with PhotoPass, they have these big, like, monitor-type screen stations that you go to. So I was a little worried. I'm like, can they fit that many over there? Is it going to be, like, two? And so you're going to have these crazy lines because you don't have very much space for people to do what they need to do over there. But it looks really, really nice.
I'm only sad because you can't go there and get perfect ears.
And swap out my ears. Yeah, that was a great spot for perfect ears. The other thing that I think is fun, so there's this really fun compass that has, that talks about all the different lands. Of course, the center is Main Street. You've got one point that points towards Fantasyland. You've got another point going towards Tomorrowland, Adventureland, and then Frontierland. They don't actually have little... We zoomed because I thought they did. They don't have little photos depicting New Orleans Square and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but they do have those lands mentioned on the poster itself. I think it's a really... I would almost want that on like a t-shirt or a sweatshirt.
It is cool.
It's a very fun graphic.
It reminds me, the bright colors and stuff remind me of the stuff they're doing with Epcot.
Oh,
that
yeah.
kind of like colored thing.
Yeah. A once state-of-the-art system is almost completely gone from the parks. The FastPass machines have been removed from most, if not all, locations where they were previously installed in order to prepare for the launch of Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane. The new services will be offered through the Disneyland app only, so the old machines are no longer necessary. Some of the locations have been repurposed as shaded vending locations, while others are left empty for the time being.
This is nice because, you know, we had this whole thing before Galaxy's Edge opened about all the placemaking stuff to make room for people to be able to walk and stroller parking and all this stuff. So I'm thinking that some of these areas, it'll be nice to either have some things like where people can just sit to have like food or make more like stroller parking and stuff like that. So it'll be nice. The one that would seem like the most themed that's kind of sad is the Haunted Mansion one.
The Haunted Mansion one is very, very cool. I mean, I think some of these will become extended queues. Like I'm looking at you, Space Mountain. They'll just make that into a little switchbacky area. Perhaps the Haunted Mansion might become an extended queue area as well. But it's so cool. If they could put like benches back there.
Sure.
That'd be such a cool, quiet corner of the park.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the Haunted Mansion one. The other thing that's interesting, too, is a lot of the signage, of course, is going to have to change.
Yeah.
Now, some of the signs, easy. It's just going to take paint to fix. But you've got other ones that are pretty intricate. Like, I'm thinking Radiator Springs Racers, because that one's in neon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got
Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn, yes. It's, like, carved in wood. There's some really fancy, and I'm talking about the Fast Pass Return signage on the queues. So that'll be happening next. But the one that really got me was the neon for Radiator Springs Racers.
That one's going to be a little challenging. Out. But you know what? Like, they're Disney. It won't cost them that much. They'll get it done.
They'll get it, and it'll look great.
Well, the annual Gay Days Anaheim event took place over the weekend that drew quite a few LGBTQ++ guests and allies. Disney offered some rainbow food and merchandise options around the parks to celebrate. There was a Mickey rainbow cookie, a rainbow cotton candy, rainbow cake, and a rainbow parade tumbler.
The tumbler looks really nice. I don't know if they've had this exact tumbler in years past, but it looks familiar.
That design was a pin design that they had for celebrating Pride at Disneyland Paris a few years ago, and I wanted the pin set, but they've used that artwork again on some of the signs, like the one you just scrolled by, that said, "Love comes in every color, Disneyland."
It's so fun. I mean, good for them. I love that this isn't an actual, like, Disney event. This is a separate organization that puts on and puts together Gay Days, but I just love that Disneyland is very open and does all these extra things that they don't have to do. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember seeing special, like, food, maybe some kind of ish pins, but like Dapper Days, that's another big event that's not specifically Disney that does happen at the Disney park. I don't remember seeing as much extra stuff for that. So I think it's really cool and really special that they do. I mean, it's not that big of a deal for them to put together these things, like a fun themed cake and cookie and the tumblers, like that sort of stuff. It's, you know, really not that big of a thing for Disney, but I think it makes a very big impact.
That cake looks amazing, by the way. Just something about... Then I went to our local grocery store today, and they have a rainbow cake, but I'm like, I don't know if it'll be as good as the Disneyland cake. Maybe I should get a piece.
Guests sightseeing in Town Square at the beginning of Main Street might notice something new. The gates to the crowd overflow corridor near the Mad Hatter have been repainted to say, "Welcome, friends," with Disneyland Main Street USA and Town Square, established 1955, above and below. This was done because they have had some socially distant meet and greets with characters there, so they kind of spruced up the character backdrop for that area.
It looks nice. Before it was kind of plain. They've had some different things there from time to time, but I think this is a great little spot. I think the sign looks great. There was some people that were kind of grumbling that Main Street's supposed to be turn of the century, and how can you have a sign that says established 1955, like blah blah blah, and I'm like, get over it.
It's fine.
I mean, if you want to be like that, go in any of the stores and all the merchandise has, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, they're steaming to a point. But I think it looks really nice and I'm excited to see it and see what characters and stuff show up there.
And the thing that's fun with it is, yes, it's being used for a fun purpose now with our character meet and greets. I think Mickey and Minnie have been hanging out over in that spot recently in their Halloween best.
But I love their Halloween best.
Even when we get away from having the distance meet and greets, I think that's fun that they made it into this, like, cool little thing to see. Kind of like the big gates that are in Pixar Pier or back in Toontown that they've made more interesting and become fun little photo spots for people. I mean, why not? You may as well.
If you've got a big area like that you could paint something on, why not? They had that too with in Frontierland. They had the fireworks mural and stuff. Yeah. Totally great. Well, some unannounced changes started to take place in a popular attraction in Toontown last week. Jessica Rabbit will be taking over a different role in the attraction as the story is updated to better reflect today's mentality. Jessica is now a private eye, keeping an eye on the Weasels, who are on a crime spree in Toontown. Her busty character will be more modest, with a trench coat covering her up, and her character has already been removed from the trunk of a car in the attraction. Imagineers are working on the updates outside of park hours to not close the attraction. No word on when the updates will be complete. This came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I was a little disappointed. I'm glad that they're making changes around the parks that are, kind of bringing things up to speed, more current, making them more inclusive.
Yeah.
I love that. I do love that. Don't get me wrong. I feel like we have a bigger issue with Peter Pan and how we've depicted Native Americans in that attraction. To me, I think that needed to be addressed before Jessica Rabbit, but I'm sure it will be happening at some point.
Yeah.
I understood, but I was also just surprised. It makes sense. The big thing, though, that I was reading about was her being tied up in the trunk of a car and how that might not be the greatest image.
Well, that was the first thing that got changed.
Yes, and of course, she is dressed a little, maybe not Disneyland appropriate. I don't know if you could walk in wearing that yourself and be if that would be okay.
Sure.
And then I also kind of have mixed feelings with them changing the storyline because it was kind of following what the movie was and now it took a little bit of a turn. So I did see some people say, well, maybe we just move away from Roger Rabbit and do something different with that space, make a new attraction. I mean, I kind of like that, but I think Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin is fun. I love, absolutely love the queue. It's so themed. So I don't know how I feel about her being, I'm all for updating. I'm all for that, but I'm not sure how I feel about her new role. So I'm interested to see how the story will play out with a detective version of Miss Jessica Rabbit now instead.
Yeah, the private eye detective kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. First of all, when I saw this, I was like, this wasn't on anybody's radar of anything to be changed. We had heard that they were going to make changes to Pirates way back.
Yeah.
We had heard that they were going to make changes to the Jungle Cruise. We had heard, there's always been these this was like one day Jessica Rabbit wasn't in the trunk anymore.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of interesting that they're just kind of making these changes. I do like the fact that they're not taking the attraction down while they're doing these.
Yes.
So it keeps it open.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see kind of how they, if they update things like the dialogue and stuff in the attraction to kind of make it the new story, or if it's just going to kind of basically be the exact same thing,
swap
just a little different.
Yeah,
so we'll see how they do it.
It's interesting because the part, so with Jessica Rabbit, of course, we have the scene with her tied up and in the trunk being like abducted by the Weasels. But then later in the ride, if you remember, she is like, she's escaped on her own, being a strong, independent
woman.
and then I think she had like bopped one of them over the head and was, it was really fun. Yes, I feel like the first scene was a bit more problematic, but if you remember that she then escapes on her own and like comes out on top of the Weasels, then I don't know. I get it. I understand. But I'm also, it just kind of took me by surprise, like you said.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll have to see how they execute on it and how it turns out, because I'm just afraid that it's going to feel like a kind of jumbled mess if they don't update everything.
Yeah, I just hope that the new story doesn't feel forced.
The other thing, too, is I never really paid attention to the story because I was too busy spinning around.
And there is that.
There's only two or three parts of that whole attraction that I remember. My favorite scene in that whole attraction is when Roger's arm moves and it's like the hole.
Yes.
Love that effect. And then there was the dip gun coming at you. And that's like the only thing I remember about that whole attraction.
I also really, I think Roger's getting maybe like electrocuted or something in that one room where he's kind of stretched out.
Like I said, I'm just worried. It's like the teacups. I'm just trying to spin it fast. And then like occasionally I'll take a break and look up. And I think that's where I end up getting tired and looking up every time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. A more subdued color scheme has come to part of New Orleans Square. The former Le Baton Rouge shop has transformed from the deep rouge color to a new green and gold that is reminiscent of Princess and the Frog. There is still no official word on what will go into this location, but Mice Chat guesses that it will be a Princess and the Frog themed shop of some sort.
See, this is interesting because Mice Chat is adamant that it's going to be a shop. It's not a store or not a dining location or anything, mm-hmm. even though the signs make it sound like something's cooking and whatever. And then Disneyland News today is like, it's going to be a restaurant. And they're like on this. It's going to be a quick service restaurant. So it's interesting to me because I'm like, I don't know. I kind of tend to go towards the Mice Chat because they've gotten pictures and there's just boxes of merchandise in there. They're not doing anything to make it a restaurant.
You know what would be really fun and would kind of make sense for both viewpoints on this? Like, it's going to be a restaurant. No, it's going to be a retail. Is yes, if it is Princess and the Frog themed, and maybe it's some sort of like a kitchen store type thing, because that would work very well with Tiana.
Oh,
right?
like the Disney home store selling kind of the kitchen stuff.
Maybe
okay.
not specifically the home store, something like that.
But like that,
higher end, nicer, maybe Princess and the Frog themed things, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a quick service. I just think
it's too small.
There's a ton of food options in that little tiny corner of the park too. So I just can't seem to think that would also be another food spot.
It's not that big.
No, but if you think of like the Mint Julep bar, that's not very big.
Yeah, but if it's going to be a quick service restaurant, it's not going to, I don't know.
You need like seating and, seating area, whether it's inside or outside or,
I think it's going to be a store.
I think it'll be a store, and I'm thinking it's going to kind of lean into Tiana's love of cooking.
That's a great idea. That's the best idea I've heard so far. On Friday, October 1st, Walt Disney World will celebrate its 50th anniversary. To go along with the celebration, ABC will be presenting the most magical story on Earth, 50 years of Walt Disney World. Disney legend Whoopi Goldberg will host the show, which will feature performances from Christina Aguilera and Halle Bailey from Cinderella Castle. The special will look at the past, present, and future of the resort with never-before-seen footage. The special will air at 10 p.m. Eastern and will be on Hulu the next day, with Disney Plus coming later.
I know this is Walt Disney World, but I'm very excited for this. I think I'm going to have to either stay up to watch it or record it so that I can watch it early the next day and not have to wait for it to be available on Hulu and YouTube, just in case. It sounds fun and exciting. I've been paying attention and watching the kind of prep that they've been doing for this big 50 celebration, and the colors. I can't get over the iridescent color scheme that they're going with. I just love it. I think the castle looks wonderful. Like the merchandise, I don't know if you've been looking at the merchandise. I'm glad. I'm jealous that this isn't Disneyland, but I'm also glad that it is in Disneyland, because I don't know how you would choose what souvenirs to purchase, because it's beautiful. It's all just so, so beautiful. Even to the point, again, silly, I love the design of the castle on the stinking Happy Meal kids toy box thing. Like,
oh my goodness,
it's just beautiful. It's just really well done. If you guys remember Evan, we had Evan on a few episodes ago. He is a designer. He works down in Florida. He's a designer for Disney. He works down in Florida, and he and his team did a lot of stuff with this design and with like the castle and all that. So I've been following him on his Instagram and watching all this stuff, and it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
He posted, it's not live on his thing anymore, but he posted some of the merchandise that is going to be released for this. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah, because he went shopping in he went shopping in Disney Springs.
Yes. And there was an item, I'm trying to find it quick, that I was so excited about. It was a hat. Baseball hat that had the 50th thing, and I thought it looked so cool.
It had ears on it too, though. Did you notice that?
I thought that was a separate pair of ears. Is that not the same?
I thought it was a baseball hat with ears.
Well, let me look and see.
Maybe there's both.
Look at that fancy mug. That's very shiny. Yeah, there was one that was like a Nike hat, like the Nike hat I have with Mickey, but it was the partner statue, and it was in iridescence.
With the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World coming up in less than 2 weeks, the president of Walt Disney World, along with the global ambassador for the world's most magical celebration, dedicated the Disney Fab 50 golden sculptures of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse to cast members past, present, and future. The Fab 50 are 50 sculptures that were created of Disney characters to be placed all around the Disney World Resort for the 50th celebration. A plaque was also placed near the Mickey and Minnie sculptures commemorating the event. I thought this was so special. And let me just, I want to read the plaque itself for you. Walt Disney World cast members have always been the heart of our magic. These statues of Mickey and Minnie Mouse are dedicated to celebrate cast members past, present, and future. Thank you for making Walt Disney's dream a reality. Dedicated this 15th day of September 2021.
It's such a neat kind of thing. So first yes. of all, I remember the 50th anniversary of Disneyland, mm-hmm. and what they did is they put 50 gold Mickey heads everywhere. Yeah. This is really neat, and I would expect that these sculptures that they're putting around everywhere, I expect that they'll stay around for a while because they're so neat and yes. unique and they're so yes. cool. But the fact that they were, you know, that Disney is celebrating the cast members and mm-hmm. kind of putting it towards them. So I think that is wonderful. And I hope that sometime during the year of their 50th anniversary that I can make it out to Disney World because I would love to see
yeah.
these things in person. We'll have to see. As we reported on last week, the infrastructure in the water to support Fantasmic at Disneyland was being worked on, which is great news. This week, the platforms in the World of Color Lagoon have been raised and are being worked on. The projection housings we reported on being dismantled months ago still haven't returned. Hopefully, this is a good sign that World of Color might make a return before the end of the year. Unfortunately, there's no official word on when either Fantasmic or World of Color might be returning.
I know. It's just so difficult, right? I feel like Fantasmic's going to be coming back before World of Color because it yeah. seems like World of Color just has a lot more work that needs to be done on it. But and then again, if you think of it, all this stuff just sat and mm-hmm. wasn't maintained or used for over a year. So I'm sure there are things that need to be addressed and things that need to be taken care of before these wonderful, wonderful shows will be able to come back. I'm very anxious. I'm hoping that maybe spring we'll see some of the shows back. I don't know. Do you think we'll see Fantasmic or World of Color back yet this year? Or do you think it's going to be early next year?
I mean, I hope so.
But I mean, I hope so I too, but I just don't know. A new Oogie Boogie popcorn bucket is now available for purchase in Disney California Adventure. For $11, guests can pick up this bucket decorated with Oogie Boogie surrounded by the Headless Horseman, jack-o'-lanterns, and other Halloween icons. Some DCA attractions are also on the background of this bucket.
So I just don't get that excited about these because I've gotten now spoiled with the really cool design yeah. popcorn buckets. Like a couple years ago for Oogie Boogie Bash, there was the cauldron yes, bucket. Yes. There was the Oogie Boogie bucket. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's the Jack's Sipper. So there's been all these like really cool ones. So when it's just kind of a plain, I mean, it's functional, right? Mm-hmm. Bucket, I'm just not as excited.
You know, there must be some sort of group in the world that is super, super into these classic popcorn buckets mm-hmm. because they keep coming out with these classic shaped decorative buckets. And you're right, because we've seen a lot of the more like three-dimensional things, whether it's sippers or
the
buckets.
The more collector items.
Yeah. And those ones you can almost, which I actually have mine downstairs, you can display them and not know that it's a popcorn bucket
right.
necessarily, whereas this is very...
pretty obvious.
If you don't know it's a popcorn bucket, you very much know that it is at least a bucket. So there must be, there's some sort of demand for these. I'm with you. These aren't my personal thing. I wouldn't go rushing to the park to buy one of these buckets.
Yeah.
I do see, though, functionality-wise, how they're nice, because they do have a lid.
Yep.
So it'd be good for families.
Easy to wash out, unlike mm-hmm. some of the designer yeah. ones where there's little nooks and crannies and
yes.
everything else.
Yes.
Yeah, I always worry with the really fancy ones that if I ever did put anything in them, that I would never get it quite clean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to have, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Residue, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I know, I always think it'd be really fun to, like, eat out of or drink out of or whatever these collector cute things, like the Jungle Cruise brooch
yeah.
that we got
that would have been
Sunday
cool to eat
for.
Out of.
That would have been really cool to eat out of, but also a mess. So... that one did have a little tray, though, that it was, you know, so it would have been easier, but I just...
Well, Disneyland was able to fulfill the final wish of a longtime annual pass holder and Star Wars fan who was killed in the line of service in Afghanistan last month. Marine Corporal Hunter Lopez told his parents before he deployed that if anything happened, he wanted to be buried with the lightsaber he built in Disneyland in 2019. The family couldn't bear to part with the saber that he built, so they went to Disneyland to build a replica. Friends who work for the Riverside County Sheriff's Department and are members of Club 33 arranged to have a private Savvy's workshop session to create the saber. While dining in Club 33, the family was presented with an American flag that flew over Disneyland and was framed and had a plaque in honor of the memory of Hunter and was presented by Disneyland Security Vice President Dan Hughes.
So when I first read the article that the Orange County Register did for this, and just even hearing you read the story about it now, I get chills and I just get goosebumps. I think this was such an amazing and meaningful thing that Disneyland and these other Disney fans did for this grieving family. And I think even the mom said, you know, that Hunter just really, really loved Disneyland. It was his happy place. To me, this is true Disney magic, and this is the power of Disney. Yes, it's a big company, but there's just something about it that just makes your heart happy. And so to see something like this, so meaningful and so amazing, and to have Hunter's story shared with other, you know, other Disney fans is just incredible. So, I mean, thank you to the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, who were the members of Club 33 that made this possible for this family. I mean, how incredible that they got to have I have not done the Sabis ceremony. You have twice. Yep. And it seems like it's a very powerful ceremony in and of itself. So I think it was really special that this family got to go in, build this lightsaber, and have, you know, have that space to themselves. I mean, I'm sure it was very emotional, but I just think this is really, really incredible.
Yeah. And you know, you're right. It's kind of an emotional experience anyway, mm-hmm. but I almost wonder if they added a little bit more Disney magic to their private one.
Oh, yeah.
So it was that even that much more meaningful. And that's so amazing that the head of security was able to mm-hmm. present them with that, and they had this made up for them. So, I mean, I hate that we have to report on a story like this, because it's unfortunate when anybody, dies, especially service members. But, it's nice that Disneyland was able to do this for this family, and yeah.
Psst, Avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. You come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place. But keep a weather eye open, mates. And hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead. And James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
It's trivia time. Tate told me it was time for me to be a little bit nicer, so I tried to pick out a couple of questions that maybe Teresa and Tate would have a fair shot at doing. So we'll see how they do.
James promised me that, like, he's like, two of these, if not three, you guys will easily get. And I was like, good, because we need them.
Yeah, so I'm banking on you two to get at least two. I did switch one of them, so I'm not necessarily as confident in the third. but I feel pretty good that you two will be able to figure it out.
So, okay.
Let's start at the beginning from listener Liberty M. And our question is, what is the experience that the Soarin' attraction is meant to mimic?
Hang gliding. Jinx!
Look at you two just throwing that out there at the same time. Question number two. There is a really tall palm tree located near Indian the Jungle Cruise. What is its name? And give me a little story of the significance? If not, I'll fill you in later.
Yeah, it's the the Dominguez tree, because it was on the property and it was like planted there sometime in the 1800s or something.
Something cool, like it was a wedding gift or something.
Yeah.
It was something more meaningful than it just being this tree. But they actually, it was one of the homes that was on the property before Disneyland. And so they actually moved the tree to save the tree.
And then when they built the Indiana Jones Adventure, they moved it again.
Mm-hmm. And it was some sort of, and I think one of the, an heir to the tree, I don't know how you want to say that, but somebody that was tied in with the tree later in life, actually, than I think was even a Disney cast member.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I'm eager to fill you in on if that's right or not. Let's move on to question number three from listener Chris M. And Chris took a trip to Haunted Mansion Holiday recently and wants to know if you can name all of the pets in the pet cemetery in the Haunted Mansion queue. and tell me a little bit about the animals that they are.
Oh, no. I'm looking
for
the named animals, and if you want to give me the types. Okay. So,
well, there's a frog. There's a skunk.
Frog. Skunk. There's also a cat.
And a dog. There's got to be a dog, right?
Cat.
Was there a snake?
There was a snake. I don't remember if there still is a snake.
Well, I'm going to say snake.
Is there a rabbit?
Oh, rabbit, yeah. Was there a bird of some sort?
I don't remember if there's an actual bird, but I know, like, near the...
Near the cat thing,
birds.
There was the birds.
Yes,
yeah.
I was going to say there are little birds near the cat. Yep.
Yeah, because they're, like, propped around the cat, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you want us to name the animal, like, name each of the things?
I'm interested in the animals that have names.
So, yes.
So I'd like to know their name, and if you can tell me the animal, that's just icing on the cake.
Because
Chris did provide a hint that there are 7 that have names.
Oh, well, I don't know any of their names. Maybe Fifi or something?
There is, like, a Fifi. That's the dog! It's a poodle.
Fifi.
Fifi the poodle.
Okay. I don't know anybody else.
I feel like the frog, I should know this because I hid a little like Disney surprise in next to the frog and it was like something like, it wasn't like ribbit, but it was something kind of.
Like croak or something, or it croaked is probably what
it
said
it.
On
it
the
croaked,
thing.
It croaked, yeah. Oh, this is a good one.
This is cheaty because Chris M is the one who works at the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah,
now.
But she just started. Haunted Mansion is her favorite attraction.
It was pretty timely to ask
this
one.
I think Fifi's the only one I actually remember the name of.
How many did we put down?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 if we count your snake.
Oh, okay.
We'll just go with that. Yeah, we'll go with that being the 7 and Fifi's the only one we can name.
Sure.
Hopefully you listeners are yelling at your podcast device of choice.
I
just
hope so.
Screaming,
that was bad.
How could you forget blank?
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, our final question this week, backed by popular demand, I'm lost in the park again.
Oh.
It's probably thanks to all that adrenaline of escaping the First Order. So I'm heading south, admiring the X and A-Wings on my way back to a more familiar galaxy. On my way, I watch a canoe go past in the water, and that thought of exercise really makes me hungry. So I stop at the first non-cart food place that I pass on my left side. For some reason, turning right just made my hunger worse. I couldn't bear to do it. So where am I finding food?
Harbor Galley.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's not a cart.
I'm going to say Harbor Galley.
Harbor Galley, yep.
All right. Did
I don't know why. Although I don't know why, if you were hungry, you wouldn't turn right and go to Hungry Bear.
He said that. He said something about there was some reason he couldn't turn right.
Just made it feel worse, man.
Whatever. Harbor Galley.
Did they find me in the right spot? How'd they do on everything else? Did I finally deliver and let Tag and Teresa feel good as they asked? Who knows? Well, we'll all know in a little bit after our discussion topic.
For our discussion topic this week, the first part of it, we are going to get back to Emmy after we talk about our upcoming trip. So what are we going to talk about with our upcoming trip, Teresa? I feel like you have been thinking and planning and thinking and planning.
But
and
I haven't.
All this, stuff.
This has been a really weird trip for me because usually, you're right, usually I just get very excited. I mean, I'm excited, of course, but usually I'm planning. But I was talking about this before we started recording. Producer Vern and I's engagement photos were this past Monday. So I think all of my focus and energy was in prepping and getting ready for that. I don't want to say Disneyland took the back burner, but it was the second thing. So it just, yeah. So anyway, so I'm almost panicking because I haven't started. Usually at this point, I've already figured out like what outfits I'm going to wear, what ears I'm going to bring, you know, and kind of started getting my suitcase put together. Nothing. I have not done a thing. Even to the point that there was a shirt that I wanted to order that had Mickey pumpkins all over it. Super, super cute.
But you're too late now.
I looked last week. When I had first looked at it, I should have just ordered it. Yep. just not thought about it again. Just went. I looked at it. Yeah, last week. I'm like, well, they're now sold out of my size. And yeah, that's the other thing too. I had ordered a necklace from Etsy. I thought I squeaked it in just soon enough because I ordered it middle of last week. Well, as of today, it still hasn't shipped. So I don't have any of my new Halloween stuff that I was planning on having with me. So yeah, and after this. I think Tag and I are going to try and maybe put together an Oogie Boogie Bash Halloween costume last minute, maybe not. That's how not prepared I am. I feel very frantic. I think it's almost like I don't think it's going to hit me until we're there.
I mean, I can't believe it's this weekend.
I know.
It's very, very quick. And I'm like super busy up until that point because like tomorrow I've got it at the podcast. I have a client that I have to meet with in the afternoon. I think we're doing something with our exchange students tomorrow. And then I'm like all day Thursday I'm busy. Friday I think I've got something. And then it'll be like time for me to pack and then we have to leave. We have to, our flight takes off at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we have to like leave at like 4:30 or something.
Yep.
So it's going to be one of those things.
I know. I was thinking about this because I was like, oh, I'll just pack Friday. And then I'm like, nope. I literally get off work at 5 p.m. and 12 hours later, I will be at the airport. So it's like, oh, gosh. Okay. Nope. Maybe not that much time as I was, you know, as I was thinking. So I'm gonna have to do it little by little.
The thing that's on our side is we're not going for as long as we normally go for, so we don't have to pack as much.
No, yeah.
So the things that I'm excited for is we finally will get to upgrade our tickets that we were worried about to our Enchant Key, which will be very exciting. But it sounds like from the way reservation stuff work, we'll be able to do that Sunday.
So we'll be able to upgrade on Saturday once we've entered the park.
Oh, yeah, because Sunday's our Oogie Boogie ticket.
Sunday's our Oogie Boogie ticket, so we don't need a park reservation for Sunday at all.
We just have to make sure that Monday stays available.
I'm not too worried about the weekdays. I think the weekdays will
They've had a couple already. Pop up is unavailable on a weekday, like Wednesday. I think was I don't know.
We were talking about that though in the chat, and they were thinking there was a couple of things going on there.
Sure.
One of it being other like schools have the day off or whatever.
Sure,
like there was a couple of reasons that made more sense. That oh, okay, maybe that's why it was. Anyways, I'm excited to do the extra hour for the Mansion holiday. I do think. I mean, depending on how we feel, but I'm pretty confident that we'll probably do that. Both of the nights that we can.
Yeah, probably, because I want to stay in the park late, mm-hmm. so yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited because you've been to the Oogie Boogie Bash, but I have not. I also told James, so right now my screen cover, like background wallpaper thing on my phone is me and James from when we were there in July.
Mm, yeah.
And it is, I told him already that it was going to be replaced with Agatha. Because Agatha, hello.
Because Agatha.
I'm very excited for all this. I'm really excited for Villains Grove. I'm very excited for all the candy. So I worked out something. You're going to laugh at this.
Oh, boy.
So they give you a ton of candy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bring a backpack with me, and I'm going to like dump a bunch of stuff in my backpack so I can keep using the little bag. And I'm going to see how much of that I can repurpose for actual Halloween candy. Because I'll take the stuff I like and give the rest out as Halloween candy.
No, yeah. Well, they give out a lot of really good candy, so I don't know how much of it you're going to be willing to part with.
We also have Sweet Tooth in the house of Max from Germany, loves his sweets.
It's a ton. Like, it is a lot of candy. So
you could just go back a couple times, right, and get...
Oh, you can go through the treat trails as many times as you want. It's
yeah.
just... The thing with Oogie Boogie, and we can talk through this too, is, like, you kind of have to have... I don't want to say you have to have a structured plan, but you kind of have to have some form of attack on how you're going to do the party, because there is so much, and you feel like, oh, there's plenty of time. No, there's not enough time. Like... Yeah, so we kind of have to figure that out. So we do have our dining reservation right when we can first get into the party.
Which I think is a good idea.
Or first get into the park, which actually doesn't interfere with party time at all. That's just bonus park time because...
So what are the treat trails and stuff open? 6?
Mm-hmm.
And then the party goes to 11?
Yeah, so the official party doesn't start until 6.
Okay.
So, yeah, so the first 3 hours from 3 to 6 is just kind of hanging out and enjoying DCA. So we can either... hit up the attractions at that point. We can just kind of leisurely take our time, do our thing. Some partygoers don't come into the park until closer to 6 because that's when all the spooky fun begins.
Because it'll have Monsters After Dark, right?
Yes.
Have you ridden that?
I have not.
So we both get to experience that.
Yes.
That's going to be cool.
Yes. So we've got to figure out, you know, do we want to try to do Villains Grove early? Do we want to try and do it
late?
Well,
it has to be dark for Villains
Grove.
Same thing
with the treat trails, because the interactive treat trails, they do open at 6, but it's not dark yet. So they are way cooler at dark.
Some of them are better than others at night.
Oh, yeah. So I think Sid, you can probably go at any time to hang out and see Sid. But like Agatha, Maleficent...
Oogie Boogie, you can see anytime because it's indoors.
He's inside, yep. The Mad Hatter looks super cool at
night.
Who
is in... Somebody's in the, like, Play Disney area.
That's Cruella.
So we can go see Cruella. No.
Oh, you mean they have a show, like in that theater?
Yeah, we should go see that when it's lighter, because that's indoors, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So there is just a ton. So we've kind of got to figure out what our plan of attack is. I'm kind of leaning. How do you feel about this?
Uh-oh.
I'm kind of leaning to try and see the parade twice. There's been a lot of people online saying, you're going to want to go to Villains Grove during one of the parade viewings, because a lot of people will be watching the parade. But the parade's so cool.
I'm sure it is. I just don't know if I want to take, how long is the parade? 20 minutes?
It's not a very long parade.
I just don't know if I want to commit the time twice in the night when we only have so much. You're talking about having a plan.
I know, but see, we could do it, though, because I love the first half of the parade. I don't really care about the second half.
How about this?
Like, once Dr. Facilier goes by, I
will remain open to it, but I reserve final judgment until I see it, and then be like, we should watch that again.
But I just, Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman.
Oh, that's awesome.
So cool.
He should be, like, traipsing around in general.
That'd be fun, just like always.
You know also that as we leave, I'm going to get a billion pictures of purple lights in the trees in the front of the park.
It's dark for a majority of the park.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I can take all those pictures on the way out when things have, closed down.
That's when I took a bunch of pictures at the end of
it. So I'm thinking the stuff that we have to do, we should do. And then the stuff for, like, pictures and stuff, you can do that, later.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this.
Last time when I did the Oogie Boogie Bash,
sure.
The only big difference was Villainous, the World of Color show was going on. There were less interactive treat trails, so I'm a little worried because we've added treat trails, which I think is very exciting. But we're gonna
it
have
seems
to.
Like, they move quick though.
They move quick, but they're just spread out, so it takes a little bit to get from trail to trail to trail.
You and I walk fast.
There's also some cool thing going on in Cars Land. There's some cars that are dressed as villains or something.
I feel like you could see that during the day,
probably. I'm wondering if we want to try and catch the Cars lighting ceremony.
Is it different for Halloween?
Oh, yeah, because they've got all those decorations.
No, but I mean, like...
Oh, like...
Does it have to be
music
for the party?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, so we could see that some other day. Like, after we have our pass, we could hop over to it.
I do want to do that at some... What are you showing me? Okay, we're still good. I do want to do the Cars lighting ceremony at some point. And we can decide...
Wait, I got to get a video of you doing your little...
My little Shadoopua
dance.
I don't know if it's the same song or not. We'll find out if they have a Halloween theme song or if it's totally different.
If only there was this magical thing called the internet that you could look this stuff up on.
Sometimes it's fun to just go in and not know and just experience it. And
that's true. That's true. I mean, you didn't know about the Haunted Mansion holiday lighting ceremony, which is super cool. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I'm excited to go to the park and hopefully the temperature will be a little bit better, because I know in July it was awful. Also, I'm excited that when we were there, the park closed at 10, and that was an hour worth of darkness at Disneyland, and now it closed at 11, and it's getting towards winter, so it's going to get dark earlier.
Yep.
So I get to enjoy my favorite time in the park at night, so I'm very excited by that. Of course, the meetup with Weekly Tears and stuff, very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
We are firmly remembering to do our Zoom hangout and our YouTube stream this time.
Yeah, I think we've got it better off. We're better off this time because we've been talking about it time-wise in Pacific time.
Yeah.
Whereas last time when we got confused, we kept talking about it and announcing it in Central time. So then we forgot to do the conversion and kind of missed our hangout. So that was very sad. But I'm looking forward to that. Unrelated, I'm looking forward to... hopefully getting some time to go over to the two locations that I'm having for my wedding.
Oh, yeah, we could for that.
I want to try and go over and see them in person. I've seen, of course, gorgeous, gorgeous photos, but it'd be fun to see them in person. I'm, just super geeky excited about doing the Pluto pumpkin hunt in downtown Disney. We're going to have to, maybe we'll do that Sunday morning. I'm not sure. But that's just, I don't know what it is about those scavenger hunts. They're just so fun.
Maybe that could be something that we do with one of the streams or one of the things is we can walk around and find the
that's true
whatever.
But it's just so it's so simple but so fun. I'm looking forward to so much of the food. A lot of it is desserts, so I'm just I'm gonna have to pace myself with the desserts because I don't want to give myself a stomach ache between all the candy from the Oogie Boogie Bash.
We don't have Vernon James to help us eat the stuff either. That's part of the problem.
There's just so many. I mean, even I was just looking at one specific thing, cakes. There's two or three different types of cake slices that I want to try. And then macarons, tons of yummy, delicious looking themed macarons. And it's just like, oh, man, I'm going to have like dessert with breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You know what I had a crazy craving for? So somebody posted somewhere that they were, I think it was Ruben maybe, that was having the orb, the like purple orb yes. thing. And I was like, God, I want one of those.
I know. I'd kind of forgotten about the orb. And then I saw the picture in our chat. I'm like, oh, yes. And then there's that as well.
It's going to be good.
So fun. So good. So what are some other things that you like? Okay.
I don't
know.
I feel like I listed DCA, everything I was excited about.
DCA, are there any, like, during Oogie Boogie Bash, do you want to try and hit up, like, attractions? We're going to only focus on party stuff.
It's really tough because I feel like we paid for the party and you're worried about, like, timing. So the only thing I really want to make sure that we get on is Monsters After Dark. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it'll be one of those, like, let's see how the night's going. If we seem like we're falling behind early, no. If it seems like we're way ahead of schedule, which could also happen, we could do something.
The other nice thing, too, is where the interactive treat trails are located this year. When, for 2019, they were kind of spread out all over the place, but not necessarily next to attractions that were like must rides. So,
well, like, I'm not gonna ride the Grizzly River run,
right?
Yeah,
exactly. And there's two, the Villainous is back there, and then you've got two interactive treat trails back there. So, yeah, and like Soarin', I don't really need to ride Soarin' during the Halloween party either. But Sid's back on Pixar Pier, so we can go check out the Incredicoaster at night. And then there is some interactive stuff going on in Cars Land, so we could do Radiator Springs Racers. I don't know if we want to do like Luigi's Honkin' Halloween and the Tomator Tractor. I can't even remember what it's called right now. But Agatha is close by to, Agatha and the Mad Hatter are both close by to the Guardians, Monsters After Dark as well. So
yeah, so it looks like there's a character in Carthay Circle. There's a character outside of Grizzly Peak.
Yep.
There's a cauldron.
So the cauldrons are the interactive treat trails.
But the interactive treat trails also have the people, right? That's like why they're interactive.
That's why they're interactive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So as you come in the door and you go to the left, there's
Oogie Boogie.
Three in Hollywoodland.
So that's Oogie Boogie, Cruella, and the Mad Hatter.
There's one in Avengers Campus.
Agatha.
There's one in Cars Land.
That's the one that's like, I haven't seen photos of that one, but it's something to do with like the cars dressed as villains.
Sure. There's one over in Pixar Pier. Mm-hmm,
that's Sid. Oh, and the Magic Key Pass photo op.
Yep.
We got to do that.
There's one over by Grizzly Peak, which that's is
the Evil Queen.
Yep. There's one over by Soarin'.
And Maleficent.
And there's one on Buena Vista Street.
Oh, I wonder who's on Buena Vista Street.
I don't know. Oh, and then there's one.
Oh, sorry. That's where Okay. I'm sorry. The Mad Hatter moved. The Mad Hatter used to be next to, in between the theater and the Guardians Tower, in that space that was the theater queuing area, but they've turned that into overflow restaurant seating.
Gotcha.
He used to be there. Now he's over by the entrance of Avengers Campus.
Gotcha. How very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's character. So there's trick or treat locations and character appearances. So character appearances are different.
Characters are just like your distance meet and greet type.
Okay.
Things.
Well, there's a ton. There's like one over by the Incredicoaster. There's one across from that. There's one by the World of Color area. There's one in Pacific Wharf. There's one in Cars Land. There's one in Avengers. There's one in Carthay Circle. There's one across by the, I mean, they're all over the place.
They are. Lots and lots.
We're going to be doing a lot of walking.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely bringing a backpack because I want to dump a bunch of stuff.
The other thing we need to remember to do, too, is good on you for the backpack, but I might need to bring just a bigger bag to do my trick-or-treating with. Because the bags that they give you, I'm not kidding.
They're tiny.
We went through one trail, and it was basically full.
Yeah, they're tiny. Well, remember, because somebody sent us one, and they're super tiny.
This is crazy, but I'm also... Have you seen the design of this year's bags?
No.
They've got the Muppets Haunted Mansion.
When does that come out? That's next month, isn't it?
October 8th.
Mm.
So, yes, very, very excited.
I just want to see what the...
I'm excited to see the giant Mickey pumpkin on Main Street, all of the different decor. Of course, Halloween Screams, the projection and fireworks show. Super, super cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring my backpack, and I'm going to have it empty.
There you go.
And I'm just going to dump stuff into it. Or maybe I'll put a shopping bag in it so it doesn't get like everywhere. It'll be contained.
That's a good idea.
And then I'll bring my bottle of water and stuff because that's always good to have. I'm excited.
Kind of wash down all the sugar.
What I want to do is I want to know, like, how often do they come and restock these, like, bins that they give you the candy of? It must be, like, a constant. Like, Disney must just be like, hey, candy companies, we need, like, 2 weeks of whatever you're going to make, like, for this stuff.
It's crazy. It's a ton. It's a ton of candy for sure.
So let's talk about the meetup real quick because we're going to have that. So Tongaroa Terrace.
Tongaroa Terrace on Sunday, the 26th at noon. We are having the meetup before we go to the Oogie Boogie Bash. So we will be leaving the meetup. Of course, Weekly Tears are welcome to continue to stay and hang out if you would choose to. But Tay and I do have to head over to DCA to make it over for our dining reservation. So we'll probably be leaving the meetup about, depending on how long it takes us to walk over there, like 1:30, 1:45-ish.
Yeah.
So we can line up and get in, hopefully, the front part of the line to get into DCA as soon as we can, so we can try and make those lovely dining reservations. Because we're going to the Wine Country Trattoria. We're doing the parade dining package. Really, I'm just excited about it because it was a fun experience. The food was delicious. Is it nice to have a reserved seating area for the parade? Yes, of course. I don't think it's necessary, though.
Yeah.
So we might play it by ear, see if we actually sit in the reserved area or if we find a better spot elsewhere. Because the parade is just
Well, the parade route
long.
Is so long.
Very, very long. Yeah.
And there's only so many people, and not everybody's going to be watching the parade, especially since it does it twice.
There's two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been more imperative if there was the villainous thing to maybe get something. But even that has a lot of seating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and when I went in 2019, villainous actually showed twice a night. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So I don't remember if we went for the earlier show. I don't remember. I think we went for the later showing and it felt like we had the World of Color seating area to ourselves. It was wonderful. So, and I don't even remember there being that big of an issue with finding seating for the parade in 2019 when there was one parade per party. So we'll be fine.
So Tongaroa Terrace, we totally got off track.
Yes, for those
of you who don't know, it's in the center part of the Disneyland Hotel. You don't have to go through security or anything. It's all just on the hotel property. You can go there. It's kind of by the pool area.
Yeah, it's right next to, if you know where Trader Sam's is, it's literally the other part of that building that Trader Sam's.
Yeah, there's like three things all in this one building, because there's like Trader Sam's, there's Tongaroa Terrace, and then there's the Trader Sam's bar. And then there's the Trader Sam like walk up thing, and then there's Tongaroa Terrace, which is the restaurant. So we will attempt to get there and get a seat, because you never know; it's always kind of iffy. We'll try to get a table, and everybody's welcome to come join us and hang out and talk or whatever. Depending on now, things might be a little different if they still have like social distancing things, because I'm wondering if they don't want like a whole bunch of people together. Because when we were there, you didn't make it over there with us, but they were still having like empty tables in between people.
Sure.
So if they do have that, we'll just have to move right outside of the Tongaroa Terrace, which will be fine.
Because
there is a nice little seating area just next to it that's outside of the restaurant that's also very nice.
We'll figure it out. It'll be nice. The Tongaroa Terrace does, you can get drinks from Trader Sam's if you want to have some of the fancy cocktails that Trader Sam's whips up.
They also mobile order.
There's also food. You can get some food ordered from Tongaroa Terrace as well. And since we are meeting at Tongaroa Terrace and it is outside, all ages are welcome. It's not like we're going to a bar, so kids aren't able to be with. So if you have younger Weekly Tears that are excited to come with to the meetup, they are more than welcome to join us as well.
Yes, absolutely. And we're excited to see as many of you as possible. And if you do see us around in Downtown Disney or you see us in the parks, always feel free to say hi. We'd love to meet you in the parks. So don't feel intimidated to come talk to us or whatever. If we seem like we're in a rush or whatever, we'll probably just be like, hi, it's so nice to meet you, but we got to get going. If we're trying to make something timed, like our dining reservation or if we... I don't know how much we're going to try to get boarding groups for things or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the days.
Maybe.
But I don't think we need to do it every day.
No, I don't.
And like web slingers, I feel like I don't care.
Well, and web slingers, remember, is
walk-on
during the party. Or it's standby.
We'll have to see how that is. If it's a short line, maybe we'll have to do that.
I feel like it will be because there's so much going on for people. Because when when I feel like I keep saying this, when I was there in 2019,
back in my day,
yeah, back in my day, we didn't do a single attraction, and like still just barely felt like we got through all of the different tree tales and all the different experiences that the party had. So yeah, so it's kind of hard. It's hard to choose what you want to do because there's so much cool, amazing stuff going on. So I kind of think attractions are probably going to be dang near walk on.
You know what just dawned on me? Am I even going to have room in my luggage to bring back candy?
Yeah, that's the other thing you got to figure out. You got to make sure you pack with your candy haul in mind.
Well, because we don't have any checked bags, right? So it's just what we can carry on. So it's like, oh, geez. Oh, my goodness.
You're going to have to get creative with your packing. I wish you could all see his face right now.
Well, I'm trying to think, like,
I was able to do it.
You know what
year,
I'll do?
Or last year.
I will give my... Oh, maybe that wouldn't work. Well, no, because it'll melt. Maybe I'll give...
You'll figure it out.
Maybe I'll give, like, Kate or something, like, some of my stuff to mail back. Like, I'll pay her to mail my stuff back. Because I'm afraid if I put the candy...
You'll...
In a, like, give it to her to mail it, it'll melt if it's, like, hot out.
Oh, no. You'll figure it out. It's not... How do I want to say this? It's a lot of candy, but it's not like it's going to be your entire suitcase. You'll get it figured out.
I hope so.
And you'll probably snack on some of it.
I'm going to have to stuff it everywhere. The TSA is going to be like, what is going on?
There's so much I'm excited for. I just can't wait. It's feeling more real now that we just were talking about it over and over again.
How does it feel that this will be the last time before you go and be married there?
I'm hoping. I want to try and sneak another trip in. I don't think it's going to happen, but I just want to, because why not? But
I thought you wanted to sneak in a Disney World trip to get the 50th going.
Not between now and the wedding.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, we're going to head back now to our second part of our discussion that we had last week with Emmy talking about children and toddlers, babies and toddlers in the parks. So enjoy the second part of that. It's a shorter part of the interview. So this episode's not going to be hours and hours long. So enjoy that.
So another use for strollers, like you kind of mentioned before, is nap time. So it sounds like you guys take your naps in the park and kind of find quiet areas. I know some people like going back to the hotel and taking like a total like break from the park, which could be helpful as well. So any tips for napping while in the parks?
Yeah. So a big tip that I have for families is be willing to fork out the extra money to stay close to the parks, whether that's on property or in a good neighbor hotel or somewhere close. I would say a good rule of thumb is try and be within 10 to 15 minute walking distance, just because if you are the kind of family that needs to take a break in the middle of the day, you don't want it to be a huge hassle to go find your car, drive back to the hotel, and how, you know, that eats up a lot of time. So for us, we've found that it's really beneficial to just be close to the parks. And then if your kid is having a meltdown and you need to take a break, then you can just walk 10 minutes, you're back in the hotel, and you can take your break and then go back for the evening and enjoy fireworks and all those kinds of things. So staying close is one of my bigger recommendations. Some people feel like maybe it's not worth the money, but when you do have a young family, I feel like it's essential.
Shout out to our friends over at the Hojo.
Yes.
Because they are an 8-minute walk. They always, people who take over their Instagram account always are talking about the 8-minute walk. But it is. It's a nice little 8-minute walk. And for me, I like McDonald's breakfast. There's a McDonald's on the way. But yeah, I see a lot of kids going back and forth. And they have like a nice little kid play area and stuff, which, you know, hotels all have like pools and stuff. But some don't have like children's play areas. Yeah. And one of the things that was nice the first time we went there for D23 was they had that like little shallow kids pool that you don't have to worry about your kid like drowning or anything. It's like almost no water, but there's like, you know, water featured sprays, water. You
like
can run through everything. Yeah. And then they have a normal pool too, but the play area was super cool. So
I love that a lot of these hotels are recognizing that there are young families that need multiple options. So we love that. I would say stay close and be okay with needing to take a break in the middle of the day, or maybe even planning a rest day in between your Disney days. Little kids, especially toddlers and babies, can get overstimulated really easily. And Disney is the most stimulating place that there is. It's, you know, noisy, smells, sounds, there's a lot of things happening that they don't see every day. And so they are going to get overwhelmed at some point. And I feel like that's where a lot of those kind of temper tantrums and things happen. So just be prepared for the fact that your kid may get overstimulated. And if that means you need to go back to the hotel and take a nap or just take a break, even being close is really helpful.
Is there anywhere around Disneyland, like if you just want to take a day off that you've done that is good for to take smaller kids to that's not Disneyland?
That's a really good question. I think
sorry that like came out of nowhere, but
no, it did, but that's okay. I'm trying to think. Not in Anaheim. We would sometimes plan a travel day or like a rest day in between our park days and go to the beach, or plan to just stay at the hotel and use the pool. And because a lot of, like you said, a lot of the hotels have really family friendly areas where you want to get your money's worth and spend time. So no, I can't think specifically, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to research like, are there parks close by or things that your family likes to do? I know for us, we're really sad that they closed the AMC in Downtown Disney because we love going to see movies. And that would have been like a really great breakup of our Disney time. So if you're the kind of family that enjoys that, I would do some research and see. I feel like a big thing for planning a family vacation is to just be realistic about what your family enjoys doing and how much your family can really handle doing in a short amount of time. So if you're only at Disney for 3 days, maybe you can do all 3 days at the parks, but maybe your kids can't handle 5 days back to back to back.
So because some people don't know about this, because Anaheim Garden Walk is not very good at advertising themselves, I guess. There is an AMC theater at the Garden Walk, which is just on the other side. Basically, if you're at the if you're Guardians of the Galaxy, it's kind of over down that way. And so they have a 6-screen theater in there. So
nice.
There still is a theater. It's a little farther away, not quite as convenient as Downtown Disney, but you can still fairly close. You can walk.
Yeah, I was going to say it's within walking distance, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. We've done some cool things. There are some cool shops and things over by the convention center that we've gone to. If we needed a little bit of a break or we stayed over in that direction, then we would spend some time over there too. But Anaheim has a lot to offer. You just have to know where to look, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's not all just Disney.
So speaking of shopping, I don't know if Ronan is in this stage yet or not, but eventually all kids get into this stage. What are kind of things that you guys do with shopping? Is he like a little want machine and wants all the toys and wants all the little stuffed animals and all that cute fun stuff? Or is he not quite interested in that yet?
Yes and no. I think it depends on where we are and what's on his eye level. So I feel like this is something that, again, that you can prepare your kids for before you go to the parks. Something that we do with Ronan when we take him out, we practice saying goodbye. So we'll like, if he wants to carry his stuffy around the store while we're in the store, then that's great. And he can cuddle it and whatever. But then it's time to say goodbye. And we say, you know, it's time for another family to enjoy this or whatever, you know, whatever we say. Mm-hmm. He's little, so he's not going to necessarily internalize everything that we tell him, but we do tell him, okay, it's time to say goodbye to the stuffy, and he does okay with that. I've also heard of families, like within one trip, they will have a yes day with their kids, but they won't tell them that it's a yes day. And what it is they'll go their whole day, and anytime their kid asks for something, they'll just say yes. But they won't tell their kid that this is their yes day until the end of the day. And they can look back and say, oh, remember that time you wanted that churro or you wanted those Minnie Mouse slippers and you wanted to wear them the whole day we were in the park. Like, we said yes to all those things and it made your day really magical. So I think that depending on your income level and what you guys can afford to do, that could be a really fun option. I know that when we went with my mom and the kids, my mom was on a pretty strict budget. So she said, you can pick like one souvenir this trip. Mm-hmm. And every time the kids would ask for something, she would say, well, do you want this to be your one thing? And it made them a little bit more cognizant of, is this something that I really, really want? Am I willing to sacrifice my one thing? Or can I maybe wait and decide later? And so it kind of made them like look with their eyes and not get attached to things so much. So I think there are options depending on what your income level is and ways to kind of mitigate the endless asking.
Yeah, and just, you know, income, yes, but then just also size of like the kid's room and play check.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
do you have room in your bag?
How much room you have in your suitcase? And, you know, there's so many, you know, so many different things that just go into. I mean, I have that problem.
We don't know anything about not having enough bag for something, do
no,
we?
No, yeah, not at all.
What I found for adults, and by adults, I mean me and Teresa, is if one thing that's really helpful, and I don't know how helpful this would be with children, but if you see something you want, take a picture of it, like on your phone, and wait till your last day to buy it, unless it's something that you think won't be there the last day. And then when you're there doing your shopping, you can go back through your photos and be like, oh, because, you know, you always get to that point where you're like, I was looking, I wanted something, what was it? So if you take a picture of it, you can go back and get it. Or if you are like us and you leave and you forget to buy it, you can maybe ask people who are going to be in the park, hey, if you see this, can you grab it and I'll pay you to ship it to me or something?
My sister-in-law does that with her kids. She'll take a picture of stuff and at the end of the night, she'll say, okay, well, you wanted these things. Do we want to go back tomorrow and get it? Or are you okay with leaving it because you like this other thing better? So I don't know. I think people, I feel like people sometimes maybe baby their kids too much or like think that they can't handle certain concepts. I don't know. People are different, I guess, in the way that they parent, but in our family, we kind of have this culture of treating kids like intelligent human beings, even when they sometimes don't act like it. but our family is pretty rational with stuff like that. So it's easy for us to say, hey, I remember that you wanted this. Here are the pictures. Let's go through them together and see what you want for your souvenir. Or sometimes in this last trip that we did with all the cousins, Grandma bought everybody a gift card, and so they could only use the money that was on that gift card. And once it was gone, it was like, okay, well, you can't have everything. So, you know, we kind of had to figure it out that way too. So that is an option as well. Like, get your kid a $25 or a $50 gift card and say, hey, this is your money for fun things this trip. So if you want to spend it on a stuffy, then great. Or if you want a t-shirt, you know, whatever it is.
That's a great idea.
Well, then that kind of helps with, you know, like, understanding the value of money too, because right, because they're the ones watching it go away instead of just poof, mom and dad made my whatever it was that I want appear and now I'm happy.
Yeah, and I would say if your kid is younger than like 8 or 10, maybe hold on to the gift card for them. Don't let them be in charge of it.
Oh, you threw it out of the stroller.
You can have this gift card that's been used and is empty. That's you get to hang on to the empty gift card. I will hang on to the real gift card.
Right, exactly.
All right, so I have to ask, what's like your favorite memory?
Oh yes,
with your child at the park, or maybe even your niece's nephews, if there's one that stands out for you better.
That's a really good question. Oh man, so back to your, I think you asked me this earlier, like what's a good age to take your kids into the park, and this kind of like goes along with that because if your kid is 3 or under, they're technically a guest of Mickey, so you don't have to pay to get them into the park. But you kind of have to recognize that like the magic is for the parents to watch their kids experiencing it for the first time. So maybe they won't remember it, but you as the parents will remember your kid's first time meeting Minnie Mouse or, you know, something like that. And it's really, really special for you. So you kind of have to weigh those pros and cons as a parent, you know, whether or not it's worth it to take a baby or a small child into the parks. But for us, it's totally worth it because we get to watch them experience everything for the first time. And like we took Ronan when he was 6 months old on It's a Small World and he loved it. He was like clapping and his eyes were lighting up and it was so, so cute to see. And of course he's not going to remember that, but we remember it and it's so special for us. So that's definitely one of my favorite memories. I also really love watching my nieces get to meet princesses or like watching princess cavalcades go by. They just are so excited about being, you know, they bring a different princess dress for every day that they're in the parks and they love to meet. So I'm really partial to princesses. I love little princesses and watching girls meet. I just love it. It's so fun. So I'd say those two for sure. Seeing Ronan go on It's a Small World for the first time. And then watching my nieces just light up over princesses. It's my favorite thing.
Well, you were there for Casper meeting Mickey Mouse. So one of our exchange students, he was 17, but he's Polish, and his big thing was he wanted to meet Mickey Mouse. So he got to meet Mickey Mouse, and it was so cool because he, you know, Mickey's just as excited to meet everybody as everybody is to meet him. And he was like, yeah, I'm from Poland. And Mickey was just like, oh, it was very cool. It was
I love that.
And PhotoPass, we had PhotoPass, so they caught some of that. So that was really
great. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where PhotoPass can be really worth it for you as a family. If you want some of those more candid moments of your kids meeting characters or things like that, I think people sometimes think that all PhotoPass pictures are really posed, but that's not always the case. So you do get some of those really special memories.
And you can be in the picture. You're not taking the picture.
Exactly.
You can be there too.
I feel like we should talk about Rider Swap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we didn't even... Duh.
So some people may not know this if you don't have younger kids, but if you do have a younger kid that doesn't meet the height requirement for an attraction, you can do what's called Rider Swap. So you'll go up to the beginning of the queue and talk to the cast member that's out at the front of the queue and say, hey... Or sometimes people call it a babysitter pass. They'll say, hey, grandma's going to stay with my child that's not tall enough to ride this ride, and we're going to go on it together. But grandma wants to go on it when we get off. So, you know, and if you just tell a cast member you want to do rider swap, they'll kind of understand what you're talking about. So sometimes they'll just say, oh, yeah, I'll remember you guys, go through to your ride. And then when grandma's ready to go on, we'll let her on. Sometimes with, especially with attractions that have longer queues, longer wait times, or you need a boarding group, they're much more strict about, okay, we need to scan your ticket and scan this ticket so that this ticket goes through one time and this ticket goes through one time. So it just depends on which attraction you're going on, but that is an option. And sometimes you can get on rides multiple times if you are strategic about using Rider Swap. So for our family, for example, we had a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance, and I think there were like six of us. And the first six of us went through, and then we kind of grouped back together at the beginning of the queue and said, okay, well, these ones want to go on it again, and these ones didn't get to go on. So we would kind of scan all the tickets and say, these are all the people that are going to do Rider Swap. And then once we would get to our next turn, we'd say, okay, well, this person wants to go again. This person doesn't really care if we go this time or whatever. So it doesn't just have to be one person. I feel like a lot of people don't know that, but... You can do rider swap with like a group of three or four or even six people. I don't know if there is a cutoff, but, and some cast members are more strict about like, you can only be you. And some of them are like, it doesn't matter. Do as many as you want. So that is something to know. If you have kids that don't meet height requirements, but you still want to go on attractions, definitely utilize rider swap.
Well, and the nice thing about that too, because we, our experience with rider swap was because Tag had bought a lightsaber. Oh, yeah. Couldn't ride attractions, some of the attractions with his lightsaber. So we had to use rider swap. And the thing that I didn't realize, which I mean, hello, it makes sense once you really think about it, was I thought rider swap was just the one person that couldn't go, then they got to go, which it's when you're with a group, it's not very fun to go on an attraction
by
yourself.
Yeah.
While everyone's waiting. So I thought it was really cool that that you could bring someone with you. So like in this case, I think it was the Matterhorn, and you sat there with your lightsaber on the side, like kind of sad, and we went off and said hi to Harold. And then when we came back, Vernon, I took the lightsaber, and then you and Catsper. So Catsper got to ride it back to back times. You guys got to go on your own because I, for some reason, just assumed the one person got to go. So I thought that was really cool that you could go with a couple.
Yeah, you for sure can. So definitely be strategic about who you want to maybe go again. Or I feel like just a lot of people don't know that it doesn't just have to be one person.
I forgot all about
that. I think it's I like how our one experience is because of your babysitting lightsaber.
It doesn't fit anywhere, and there's nowhere for them to like store it. So
you would think that they would figure something like that out, like a special lightsaber locker or something.
I mean, it was just a few months after the park.
Yeah, I wonder if the fear of it is then right because everybody's got their lightsaber in the same bag. So then, whose lightsaber's who? You know, so you don't want to.
Plus, it's a very expensive thing, so I feel like if something happens to it, they don't want to have to replace somebody's lightsaber multiple times a day or something. Not well, the same person, but I mean different people.
Like, how'd you lose your lightsaber five times today?
I'm just trying to collect them all.
Awesome.
If you're taking your kid in lines, there are lots of fun things to keep your kid entertained in lines. We personally bring lots of like cheap stickers that we buy at the dollar store or whatever, and we just let our kid go to town. They peel off like anything that takes a lot of time, that is your friend when you're in a line. So like watch a show, do play Disney parks, you know, play Heads Up. I've seen families do that in line before. We bring bubbles, we play I Spy, but little stickers are really fun, and they're fun for the people around us too, because our kid will go up to them and be like, "You want a, you know, Baby Yoda sticker or whatever it is, you know," and they're sticking them all over our arms and stuff. And it's really fun. So there, and snacks are also your friend in lines. So I found, I used to make fun of people that wore fanny packs all the time, but now I love them because they're easy to store if you're on an attraction and you can keep all of your stuff really close to you and have your hands free. So I keep lots of snacks in my fanny pack. I hand them out. I'm like, I literally am Mary Poppins at the park. have a snack, you know. Snacks are great to have too, for sure.
Teresa made fun of me because I bought a Indiana Jones Adventure fanny pack the last time we were in the park. And what
you
I did
embarrassed by it
was, well, because you kept saying stuff about it.
Like, we'd take a picture and be like, why did you get my fanny pack in the picture? I'm like, it was just you. You were wearing
But she would always comment about the fanny pack, which made me self-conscious about it. But what I did was I have one of those really large charging things. Like, it'll charge like a laptop. But that fits really well in there. And then I could put my phone in there and... And I still had easy access to it, because sometimes if you have a backpack with a charger, it's hard because you're like, well, now I got to take it off to get my phone out. When this way, I could just keep reaching down and grabbing it and putting it back in. And it was nice to just be able to put, like, it's so convenient that it's like right there.
It is. It really is. Especially with if you're doing a park hopper and you need to get your ticket out multiple times or whatever. Yeah. We love a fanny pack. We're all about the fanny
pack. I looked at my Indiana Jones fanny pack today because it's in my closet. It's hanging on the rack. And I was like, oh, am I going to take that when we go at the end of the month?
Oh.
I probably should. And then I was like, but Teresa makes fun of me for it.
You know, don't let her make fun of you.
I was only making fun of you because you were being self-conscious. So I love how we, because I thought it was hilarious how self-conscious you were being. So we
were just making
this,
fun of me for it.
I know, but it was this like
circle.
Weird circle. Like, who even started it? Because the whole reason I'm like, why are you being so weird? Like, why do you mean so weird about your fanny
I will
pack?
Say the Indiana Jones one is larger than what I would it think is. A normal one is. So when you see it in pictures, it looks like you have this massive pack like
you
on the front
look
of
up,
me.
They're like very trendy right now. Louis Vuitton just made a huge like a fanny pack and people wear it like as a crossbody.
Oh, yeah.
Type. You know, like my friend has one. And
the Indiana Jones one, I think they were saying that you could wear it across too. And I'm like, yeah, but that's just not as convenient.
It's very cumbersome that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're convenient.
Maybe we need to make DL Weekly fanny packs.
I would buy one.
See?
Hands down.
I don't even know where you buy, like, bulk fanny packs so you can, like, put your logo
I'm sure
on.
Somewhere.
I'm sure the internet. It's somewhere on the internet.
Oh, yeah. I think the only other thing that I... Oh, there were two other things I wanted to mention. One thing that I heard about that I think is really awesome is have things like snacks and diapers and stuff delivered to your hotel room.
Oh.
Utilize like Amazon one day shipping or Instacart or Postmates or whatever you decide to do. Get your diapers and stuff delivered so you don't have to carry them in your luggage. Or if you want to do it, you know, bring them in your luggage. And then when you go home, you have an empty suitcase that's full that you can put merch in if you want
to. There you go.
Our place that we could order stuff to make shirts, they are out of stock currently, so that means
they're
that people
not
are buying
popular.
Them.
They're sad looking fanny packs.
What do you mean they're sad looking? They just look like that because of the...
They're very droopy looking.
Because they're showing the strap, Teresa.
Plan Disney does have like a specific map for attractions that you can do with toddler and preschool age kids.
Oh, very cool.
Which is really fun. So you can print it out and you can look at it with your kid and decide, you know, we want to do these attractions. We want to do Dumbo and Casey Jr. and whatever. But they do have like a preschool age specific map that will tell you which attractions your kid can go on.
Oh, very cool. And I'm assuming then do they have for different like older age groups too? So then say you've got someone a little, you know, a little older with the height restriction stuff?
I do not know.
Oh, okay.
I've never looked into that. I think that once your kid hits a certain age or a certain height, they can go on most things.
Sure, yeah.
I've only looked for preschool age toddler kids. but
makes sense.
Yeah, but it's really fun. I think it's fun to just look at and plan what you guys are going to do together.
Yeah, no, that's
I found the
cool.
Disney World one.
Cute.
This is cool because they have them for like every park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah, and they do
cool.
have Disneyland specific too and California Adventure specific.
Cool.
That was something that I did want to mention. If you want your Disney trip to be a little bit more magical, is do some prep with your kids beforehand. Watch the films, mm-hmm. watch Cars, so that way they know, like, we're going to go see Mater, and right, they're excited, yeah. you know? Like, I think a big part of having a successful Disney trip with small children is prep beforehand.
Oh, sure. Definitely. I can understand that.
Yeah, the only other thing that I had to mention that I thought was, like, a really good thing to think of is, like, how you can make it magical for your kid from beginning to end. So whether you're going to like tell them in a special way that you're going to Disney, or if you want to like have somebody decorate their hotel room before you get there, or just like little details like that can make it so much more memorable. Disney right now, they stopped doing it because of COVID, but they do have like a floral and gifts thing where if you're staying at a Disney hotel, then they'll like decorate it for your birthday or something like that, which I think is really fun. But I also found, I think somebody in our chat mentioned this actually, that you should pick a spot in the park and then take a picture of your kid in that same spot yes. every time you go.
Yep.
I thought that's such a cute idea. We're totally going to, Bryson and I are arguing now about where we're going to pick.
Where this, what the spot's
going to
be.
What's our spot going to be?
I mean, you got to pick a couple and just take pictures at both places. Or
that's true. We could. Honestly, we could. Take all the pictures.
There you go. I mean, it doesn't cost anything extra now.
Yeah.
Only if you print them.
Yeah, exactly. And then things like first visit buttons, ears with their name on them. Like Bryson still has his very first pair of ears from when he was like three or something with his name mm-hmm. on the back. Mm-hmm. And it's special. And I think that if Disney's going to be a big part of your life, there are things that you can do to make it more magical even than it already is.
We're down to our last question now. And I'm really interested what you are going to pick for this one. So if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? It could be anything. It could be a made-up job, a real job. Sky's the limit.
So I have two things that I would love to do. Actually, when Bryson and I were dating, so I've always wanted to be a Disney princess. My cousin was fortunate enough to be Ariel at Walt Disney World for a little while. And I've always wanted to be a Disney princess. And so when I was in college, I totally latched onto the college program thing, and I was geared up to go to an audition. Like, I had done all this research. I had a friend that was going to put in a good word for me at Disney and all that stuff. And then we decided to get engaged and married instead. So I didn't get to be a Disney princess, but I would love to be Belle or Cinderella, probably. I don't know. I'd be happy
she
with
wants
anything.
The big gowns.
Yes. What girl doesn't want to be a princess?
Sounds yeah. to me like you need to go to Oogie Boogie Bash dressed as a princess.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, though, that at Oogie Boogie, they don't allow floor-length gowns?
Really?
Yeah. It's in the costume guidelines. I looked to see what would
you
be
know,
allowed.
That's probably the thought process of we don't want to confuse little ones as to why there are two Cinderellas or something.
But no, because today the Hojo account, some guy took over and he posted pictures from Oogie Boogie Bash. He mm-hmm. was in a Spider-Man suit, like the full Spider-Man suit, well, except for he couldn't wear the mask.
Yeah.
But he looked like Spider-Man.
I know there's something with, like, you can't have capes. That's probably an endemol.
So it's probably like a safety
But I wonder
thing.
If it's like tripping.
I think it is something, they don't want something you to, like, do with that. But yeah, floor-length gowns are not allowed. So
what if it's like ankle length?
That might be okay. I don't know. I don't work there, so I don't know. So anyway, I would love to be a princess. Or my second thing is that I would love to be a cruise director for Disney.
There you go.
They have such a fun job. They get to plan all these fun activities for families. Mm-hmm. And we personally, we really love Cruise Line. So anything to be on Disney Cruise Line would be amazing. And I would love to be Natalie, your cruise director that helps you plan all your fun things.
Well, thank you so much, Emmy, for giving us a bunch of tips, some fun stories. We learned a lot. Definitely. I hope our listeners out there were able to pick up on some things too, maybe learn some new things to make their Disney lives a little bit easier when it comes to going with little ones and how to make the day a little bit more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for filling that part of knowledge that we just don't not have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I so appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity. I know that, like, I'm obviously still a new parent. I'm not perfect. I'm not seasoned, but I do have quite a bit of experience with multiple ages of kids. So I hope I could help somebody, and I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DO Weekly.
Well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land with producer James to get the answers to this week's trivia. I think we did okay.
I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm sad that we fell face first, kind of, sort of, on the Haunted Mansion question.
Well, you should know the Haunted Mansion, so you know you need to be, like, Haunted Mansion expert. You need to, like, have a dictionary of knowledge in your head.
You see, everyone always assumes that Teresa knows everything Haunted Mansion, so they always try to find these little details or list things, and it's like, oh, good luck.
Yeah.
You do feel good. You should feel good. Our first question from listener Liberty M. What is the experience the Soarin' attraction is meant to mimic? You both said hang gliding, which is indeed the truth.
Thank you, Liberty. You can continue to be our community manager.
What a gift. Question number two came from Ruben O. There is a really tall palm tree located near Indy in the Jungle Cruise. What's its name and what is its significance? You two got a lot of these details right, and it is indeed the Dominguez tree. The tree story begins in 1896, almost 60 years before Disneyland opened. It was indeed planted on farmland that was roughly in New Orleans Square as we know it today. The last owner of the farm, Ron Dominguez, asked to spare the one tree, which they did. And it was indeed a wedding gift to Ron's grandparents. And so that's why they built the boathouse around the tree. And Teresa was right on this one as well. He did become a cast member. He was a ticket taker on opening day and moved up through several positions, including executive vice president, for retiring in 1994. And he has a window on Main Street above the Market House.
How does it make you feel that you know more about this one tree than you know about the Haunted Mansion, apparently?
The Haunted Mansion pet cemetery.
I also want to say, so that was Ruben.
Ruben,
we're going to see you this weekend at the meetup. You're still invited to the meetup, so good job. Thank you.
Oh, time to start feeling bad for Chris M., who stumped you on the pet cemetery question. She was looking for the names of the pets who have names in the pet cemetery in the Haunted Mansion queue and what types of animals there are. There are 7. You got 3 of the animals correct and 1 of their names correct. So the animals are Rosie the pig,
yes.
Buddy the dog. Freddy the bat. Fifi the poodle. Yay.
Yay, Fifi.
Jeb the spider. And the other 2 you got right are the frog. You are on the right track with a funny name. It's Old Flybait.
That's, yes.
And the skunk, whose name is Stripey.
Stripey.
Which is adorable. So there is a stake that is in the pet cemetery, but it doesn't have a name. I can't say for sure about the cat or the rabbit that you also guessed, but no names.
Wrong and there's answer. Birds, too.
What?
Because I remember the little birds.
Oh, I'm sure there are birds. They don't got names either. Hmm.
Chris, you work at the Haunted Mansion, so we still have to be nice to you.
Final question. Did you find me in the park? Probably thanks to all the adrenaline of escaping the First Order. I head south, admiring the X-Wings and A-Wings on my way back to a more familiar galaxy. On the way, I watch a canoe go past to the water, and the thought of exercise really made me hungry, so I stop at the first non-cart food place I pass that's on my left, because for some reason, turning right just made my hunger worse. Where will you find me? I am eating some of Tag's favorite food in the park, soup in a bread bowl, maybe a lobster roll. I am indeed at the Harbor Galley.
I need to try this lobster roll. I've never had it.
You know what? No time like the present.
And speaking of no time like the present, do you have a trivia question that you're sitting on and just want to ask TNT? Well, now's the time. Or like Therese just said, no time like the present. Send producer Vern and I an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net. And we'll look forward to asking your questions on an upcoming podcast.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information from Disneyland.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks. We hope to see Eddie and all of you at our meetup or in the park.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened.
Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.